space is hostile to life. Within all our knowledge, there is no place anywhere that is not hostile to life, except one. Our Earth is so different, so bursting with life, it's unique. We can regard our Earth as a freak, the one freak spot designed for life. Science today, though it's determined to exclude God and creation, is finding itself faced more and more with a design that points to a designer. For instance, water is extremely rare, but Earth, and only Earth, abounds with water, and its extraordinary properties make life possible. Water is really the governor of life and of the Earth's ecology. The Earth itself is at exactly the right distance from the Sun. Its axis is at the right tilt to give us seasons essential for life. Earth orbits the Sun, and it spins on its own axis at the optimum speed for life in each case, and to the fraction of a second in each case. And the Moon is at the right distance to give us tides without slowing Earth's spin to any marked extent. Science probes deeper and finds protons and neutrons, and by great luck, and you know luck is the will of God, by great luck, the proton is just not quite as heavy as the neutron. So the proton is stable and the neutron is unstable. Logically, one should expect the reverse, that the proton should be heavier, but it's not. So the proton is stable. But if the proton's mass were increased by a mere 0.2%, then the proton would become unstable, and then what? Well, hydrogen is essentially a single proton, and hydrogen is the dominant element of water and of the Sun, the stars, and the entire universe. If the hydrogen proton became unstable, the whole universe would become unstable and life would vanish. Surely, the proton's mass and the neutron's mass have been intelligently chosen. Science has noted many other cosmic coincidences. Scientists have uncovered hundreds of carefully balanced equations, constants, and properties of matter, and have realized that if any one of these quantities were changed in the slightest way, the result would be catastrophic. It would seem that all this wondrous order is designed for life, and especially for mankind. But modern science will not admit God, so it proposes the anthropic principle to avoid special design. It proposes, without any evidence, that there must be not just one universe, but an infinite number of universes, varying one from another, and that our universe, by good luck, just happens to have the exact conditions for producing life and man. Well, if that's science, how about the story of Cinderella? As true science probes deeper into the precise order and the special design of the universe, so does it expand the argument of William Paley of two centuries ago. Paley pointed to the wonderful design we see in all nature, all of it making a powerful argument for an intelligent creator. As he said, if there's a watch, there must be a watchmaker. I contemplate the marvel which is the human body, and the lesser marvel of the humble housefly. Both of us more intricate than the whole universe. Truly I can say, I am wonderfully and supernaturally made. And in a lesser sense, the housefly and the meanest microbe can say the same, wonderfully and supernaturally made. The founder of modern physics, Nobel Prize winner Max Planck, put it this way, quote, "According to everything taught by the exact sciences about the immense realm of nature, a certain order prevails, an order independent of the human mind. There is evidence of an intelligent order of the universe to which both man and nature are subservient." Unquote. That was Max Planck. The general theory of evolution is in real trouble, and it's being looked at more critically. Even the champions of evolution are aware of evolution's glaring failures. Many are speaking out. For example, Dr. Colin Patterson, a senior paleontologist at the British Museum. He recently made the startling statement that he woke one morning and realized that there is not one thing he knew about evolution for sure. He asked other leaders of evolutionary thinking and was met with a blank. None could tell him anything about evolution, any one thing that they knew to be true. Unless we're atheists, we accept a God. If a God exists, that God with his fiat, let it be made, could have brought forth a perfect universe from nothingness. Even the unbeliever Thomas Huxley conceded that. I now suggest to you, and this suggestion is supported by the faith of hundreds, perhaps thousands, of highly qualified scientists, so we needn't be ashamed of it. I suggest that the Creator's fiat produced a fully-fledged, perfectly operating adult universe, an adult universe that looked just as it looks now. And from the dust of the earth, another fiat produced an adult man. And when that man looked at the sky, he would have seen God's handiwork in the stars of the sky, without waiting years for light to cross space. At that moment, the apparent age of the universe might have seemed millions of years to an evolutionary scientist, but its real age may be 6 days. Adam's apparent age, say 21 years, but his real age, a few minutes, on that newly created Earth. Do you get the point? If Earth and universe were created, then the universe is a pure act of God, and you cannot explain an act of God by evolutionary theory. We must venture where science cannot follow, where Christian scientists stop explaining and start adoring. Let me add, this proposal of apparent age versus real age is not some cute idea that you can take or leave. Unless you accept it, you cannot accept any original creation. On the other hand, regardless of what God may have chosen to create, the perverse mind of man can invent some sort of evolutionary history preceding it to explain it. But to do the explaining, he bends and he breaks the fundamental laws of nature. He breaks the unbreakable laws of thermodynamics at every twist and turn, as he explains the watch without the watchmaker. Today, when the theory of evolution can be shown to be not credible, we behold the paradox of a surge of evolution propaganda flooding the world. It must be terribly important to some people to persuade men that they are only animals and that science needs no God. And who are these people? They are the powerful ones, internationalists, who wield a power that can shape world events. And they make certain that there is no let-up in the barrage of evolution propaganda, because they have planned a new world order without God. And evolution is just the thing to get rid of God. Today, as the anti-God revolution rages, Christianity is under deadly attack. The strategy of the attack is, 1, to discredit Genesis. 2, to confuse the central Christian doctrines, original sin and redemption. And 3, to replace the Creator God with the godless force of evolution. So, the general theory of evolution has become the basis of the anti-Christian onslaught. If only you can see that fact, you'll see why we must stand up and fight this infidel theory. Today, as the anti-God revolution rages, Christianity is under deadly attack, and every attack on Christianity, every attack, has as its basis the general theory of evolution. Thank you for listening.
This cassette has dealt with a big subject, but because of time limits, it had to condense the topic. The speaker on the cassette has produced a book, The Crumbling Theory of Evolution, which gives a more comprehensive coverage in simple language. The book is recommended to anyone who wants to follow up the message of the cassette. It has received commendation here and overseas in words like, masterful job, and a gem, excellent, the very best on the subject, and a pocket encyclopedia written in racy and forthright language. The book is available from St. Vincent de Paul Bookshop, 143 Edward Street, Brisbane, also from St. Vincent de Paul Bookshop, 7 Young Street, Sydney. Also from John the 23rd Cooperative, P.O. Box 22, Ormond, Victoria, 3204, and from several other sources.